This is the Eye on Potatoes, brought to you by the National Potato Council. The Eye is the place to tune in for conversations with growers and thought leaders on advocacy, production, and all things potatoes. Now, here's your host, Lane Nordland.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Eye on Potatoes podcast. I'm your host, Lane Nordland. Today, we are going to be joined by the new president of the National Potato Council, Mr. Dominic LaJoy from the state of Maine, along with CEO of the National Potato Council, Cam Quarles. These gentlemen will be discussing the virtual annual meeting and Potato DC fly-in that just took place, along with other key issues impacting the potato industry. But first, we would just like to thank the sponsor of today's podcast. Are you looking to implement organic nutrients to your growing program this season? AgroThrive has been supplying USDA-certified and conventional growers across the nation with their fast-acting, pre-digested organic biofertilizers for over a decade. While your average organic fertilizer may take weeks to properly compost in soil, AgroThrive's proprietary progressive digestion process has already broken down their nutritious raw materials so that they are ready for fast absorption, all while adding plenty of new microbial life to the soil. For cleaner potatoes, more uniformity, and better packouts, visit agrothrive.ag today. Again, a big thank you to AgroThrive for sponsoring today's podcast. Alrighty, friends, welcome back to the Eye on Potatoes podcast. As promised here today, we are joined by Cam Quarles, CEO of the National Potato Council from Washington, D.C., and Mr. Dominic LaJoy from the state of Maine joining us, the new president of the National Potato Council. Gentlemen, how are things going today? Cam, I'll start with you just so we can keep some order. How are things out in the Beltway today?
It's good, Lane. Things are starting to warm up a little bit here. We're still waiting for them to take down the concertino wire and the big fences and get Capitol Hill back to normal, but otherwise, we are looking pretty good.
Well, that's good to hear. And Dominic, for yourself, how are things looking up in your part of the nation? How's the weather been for you all?
Well, here in northern Maine, winter's finally hit us the past 4 days. We've had blizzard-like conditions and not too much snowfall, but so much wind that we've drifted the snow that we've had into a lot of roadways have been closed down and, you know, trying to clean up and keep things moving. But we're used to that type of weather, just more in January rather than in March. But it's here, and winter's getting shorter, so hopefully spring's around the corner.
Very true. And I'm actually, before we recorded this, I explained to Cam and Dominic my situation. I was at an event at a ranch here in central Montana, and for some reason, the phone lines and internet, there was no service anywhere where there typically is. And so I had to drive an hour and a half to a truck stop just to get some good LTE service here today. But we have very little snow on the ground here in central Montana. We had quite the cold weather a few weeks ago, 30, 40 below zero with several inches of snow on the ground. And then we have those warm Chinook winds come off the Rocky Mountains. And it's 55 degrees in central Montana. So I actually wish we had a little more moisture, but we'll take what we can get. I was actually with a potato producer this morning, Walt Sales, from Manhattan, Montana. He's actually a state legislator, so we talked a little bit about this podcast. So hopefully we have another listener of it, Cam.
Hey, excellent! If you're out there finding new subscribers for us, Lane, you're going above and beyond. I'm impressed.
Well, it's a duty as the host, but enough about Lane's life here, driving an hour and a half down back roads to get to service. Gentlemen, just a few short weeks ago, of course, we had the Potato DC fly-in combined with the annual meeting of the National Potato Council. How did that shape up? Again, a virtual event as we move throughout 2021. How did that look this year?
No, I think the fly-in went well. I think everybody's, this virtual event stuff is not what we're used to, so everybody's ready to go back to the old way. I think we're getting closer, but we had good attendance, good participation, and a lot of great stuff. We covered a lot of issues, and of course, we're working with a new administration now, so looking forward, you know, we're going to tackle things as they come up.
As Dominic said, we had actually the best attendance that we have ever had for a fly-in. We had over 160 people, which is about 40 more than we would have for a physical event. So that was great. We were joined by Senator Susan Collins from the great state of Maine, recognizing that our new president, Dominic, is from Maine. Susan Collins was there, heard from her. Senator Risch from Idaho joined us in person, and then we had both of the top staffers for the Senate Agriculture Committee, both the Republicans and Democrats, joined us. So it was we had a great event there for the fly-in. Of course, we did all the business the day before with our annual meeting when Dominic got the gavel. So I think from our perspective, things went very well. The technology supported us, and we were able to have a lot of good meetings.
Dominic, as you mentioned, though, folks are ready to get back to that face-to-face relationship building for sure. But hey, I'm so glad technology has been there for us over the past year, so the National Potato Council can keep up all of its important work on Capitol Hill and staying engaged with the industry out in the countryside. On the policy end of things, Dominic, what are some new policy that was maybe created and voted on, or what were some of those key issues that industry members discussed and debated for the online annual meeting that was just held?
Well, some of the issues, of course, we're always focused on nutrition, the value of nutrition in potatoes, and keeping potatoes in, you know, government feeding programs, whether it's school lunch, breakfast, or school breakfast, or the WIC program, or the USDA food box program. So we're focused on that issue, as well as trade. Obviously, we've been working on getting the Mexican border open, so that was kind of a hot topic during the fly-in, and a lot of breaking news happened while we were there. But we're still not quite to the finish line, so we're working on it. We focused on our initiative for pesticides and moving forward for re-registrations. We have advisory committee set up to advise the Office of Pesticide Programs, the EPA, on the uses and the value that we have with the pesticides available for potatoes. So we have committees set up for that to make sure that we stay ahead of the curve when these products come up for re-registration or new products come up.
Obviously, a lot covered there. Cam, is there anything else you want to add to some of those key policy issues?
Yeah, Dominic covered it very well. I think we're also very interested in what the administration and Congress may be able to do on a new infrastructure package. A lot of folks would like to see upgraded roads and commercial seaports, and you know that may come with it some increased truck weight limits that the industry has been pushing for a long time. Of course, the big question there, Lane, is how you pay for those type of upgrades. The trade issues are always incredibly important to us. All of our appropriations requests, the funding for potato research, the nutrition riders that are attached to it, a lot of different things that we covered. And you know, I think the real positive feedback I'm getting, as we're now a week after the fly-in, is I just got off the phone with one of the congressional offices that had called asking for follow-up. We've gotten a number of different messages, and so clearly I think the staff up there, as well as the members, were interested in what our attendees had to say, and they want to be helpful, and so they're trying to get more detail from us on how they do that. And that's really the goal of the fly-in, is you've got growers who they're the voters, they're the folks who matter. They're there in the district raising issues, and then it's an opportunity for us to come in afterward as the professional policy staff and try to see how we can get some of these issues solved. So it really seems like it was a good, solid, well executed event last week.
Well, again, we are just so fortunate during these times to be able to utilize these technologies to continue to set the policy and work on these important issues. Cam, I do want to touch on the Mexico Fresh issue, but I'm going to come back to that. But Dominic, you now have the gavel as president of the National Potato Council. What does it feel like to look towards the future in the upcoming year? What are some of the key priorities that you have to look at, and what are some of those issues you'll be wanting to address with your officer team and with the staff in Washington, D.C.?
Well, Lane, one of the first things that are one of my goals is my predecessor, Britt Raybould, she had a goal to have more growers involved, try to get more growers participating in our committees and attending our events, and I'd like to try to continue that goal. You know, Britt's year was kind of tied up with the pandemic, so it really, a lot of things didn't happen that we were hoping would have happened. So, you know, that's one of the goals I'd like to continue with. Another one is, you know, we have a new administration. We have new ideas and things on the forefront as far as climate change. So, you know, I'm focused on making sure that growers are protected with climate change policy. I want to make sure that, you know, sound science is used and we have the right data and enough data to support any change in our farming practices. Obviously, we're going to need research dollars for that. You know, moving forward, a lot of changes will happen, but we got to protect growers and make sure that it's the right thing to do as far as changing our best management practices as they are today. Lastly, you know, support state organizations. They support the NPC, and we want to make sure that we keep them well informed and, you know, get growers to participate at state level and state organizations and work their way up to the national level. So those are a few things we're going to work on.
Well, those are really important issues, and of course, just having more producer engagement is so important, and, you know, especially with more young people coming in, it's important for all experienced ages of producers to really be involved and continue to have that advocacy role for the future of the potato industry. And of course, one of those big issues that the National Potato Council and growers and industry members have been working on for quite some time, of course, is the Mexico Fresh issue. And Cam, our last few conversations on the podcast have discussed this. Could you maybe share a little bit about the excitement that came out with the Supreme Court ruling and then a little bit of bad news that came with it? It's kind of like being told you're going to Disneyland and then it ends up being Knott's Berry Farm instead. Could you just share with our listeners just an update on the state of the Mexico Fresh decision in front of the Mexican Supreme Court?
Yeah, so Lane, when we were in the midst of our committee meetings for the annual meeting, we got word that the Mexican Supreme Court had, unlike the U.S. Supreme Court, where when they issue a ruling, they have already voted on it, and by the time it is revealed to the public, it's done. That business is it becomes the law of the ruling of the court, and it's final. The Mexican Supreme Court does it differently. They will put out a draft ruling, and then they will sit down at a later date to either to vote to either confirm or reject that ruling. Well, they put out a draft ruling that was very much in the favor of the U.S. potato industry. It was very strong, reaffirming that the Mexican government has the authority to allow potatoes to come into the country, and the ruling rejected a number of the erroneous arguments from the Mexican potato industry. The ruling was very strong. The draft was very strong, but when the justices sat down to actually vote on it to confirm it, they decided to postpone that ruling, and then a week later, they had another session of the Supreme Court, where they again elected to delay a vote on that ruling. And so we're obviously concerned by this. Secretary Vilsack raised the issue with his Mexican counterpart in a call this week that he had, the first call that he's had with Mexico, specifically mentioned the potato dispute. And so that that is a very good thing from the Secretary of Agriculture to be highlighting that. Also, the Catherine Tai, who is up to be a U.S. Trade representative, her confirmation hearing was last week, and several senators, including Senator Crapo, who's the ranking member on the Senate Finance Committee, asked her specifically about this dispute and asked her what mechanism she had to try to break it free. So there's a lot of pressure coming from the U.S. I think people have recognized that this really is not about the law anymore. It's about simply trying to avoid competition with U.S. fresh potatoes. And so we're hopeful that that pressure is going to come to something. But we've got to recognize we got some pretty powerful interests in Mexico that do not want to have to deal with U.S. potatoes coming into their country. And so we're at a bit of a stalemate right now. And hoping that the Mexican Supreme Court finalizes this ruling, but it's really up in the air at this point, Lane.
No, very troubling, of course. I mean, we could speculate all we wanted, but that's not the appropriate way to discuss the issue of why, obviously, the higher court has not made their decision. But very frustrating they continue to delay it. But yeah, I watched nominee Tai's confirmation hearing just last week as well, and very impressed with, obviously, her involvement in the USMCA and her counsel to the House Ways and Means. Is that correct? Or am I confused about which general counsel she served
it was,
under?
She was on the staff for the House Ways and Means Committee. Yes, that's right.
Perfect. Sorry, I was on the right track. We got there to my point, Cam. But
you were.
From my perspective, I'm relieved that she understands USMCA from the negotiation aspect of it, and hopefully the enforcement mechanisms and can be utilized to its full extent in case the Mexican Supreme Court does, in fact, rule against the U.S. potato interests there. But other issues, Cam, that folks should be aware of, we do have Secretary Vilsack. He is heading up USDA. He was confirmed. What other topics should our listeners be aware of here as we move through the month of March?
Well, can I just go back to one thing that you'd asked Dominic about, and I just wanted to give my perspective on it. Yeah. Dominic had mentioned having growers very actively involved in NPC, and I completely agree. That's a great thing. And I just wanted to recognize, you know, the last year it's been a real challenge for the industry. It's also been a real challenge for NPC as an organization, and the great work of Britt during her presidency was really appreciated by, I think, everybody in the organization, and particularly the staff here, and Dominic as the first vice president, and now he's ascended to become president. We had a terrific executive committee. You couldn't have asked for a better group of folks to deal with all of the various challenges that we had facing the organization. You know, we had to take Potato Expo entirely virtual. We had to grapple with all of the pandemic relief that consumed so much time and so much effort and was so high risk for the industry. If we got it wrong, it really meant something for family farms around the country. And so, you know, having those group of highly invested folks that we could go to bounce ideas off of and to make sure that we were on the right track for the things we were trying to get done for the industry, it made all the difference in the world. So we from the staff here, we really appreciate it.
Dominic, any last thoughts or just how things are going up your way as we prepare for the rest of the 2021 growing season and market?
Well, you know, I thank Cam for those comments, but we, you know, I would also echo that we had a great team in D.C. to get us through this pandemic, and we're not there yet. We're working our way to the end of it, so hopefully it comes soon. But moving forward, you know, it's just I hope that everybody has a good spring for planting, and you know, we've seen markets have been realigned. We're going to do things different, and there's different supply chains out there now. So as an industry, we've adapted, and a lot of growers have been innovative in moving that pandemic crop, you know, out of storage and into markets. So, and working with not only growers, but, you know, processors and retailers. And so it's been a team effort. And I think moving forward, we have a great team in D.C. as well as a great team on executive committee here at the NPC. So, and with the grower support behind us, I think we'll have a good year.
No, we are all hoping for a great rest and end to 2021. And as you mentioned, it seems we are finally getting a little bit of a handle on the pandemic, vaccines being distributed, and just a little more optimism, of course, in the countryside and on the consumer end of things. And you know what? I'm hopeful we'll all be meeting together for the Potato Expo 2022, which is hard to say that year already, but heck, we're bucking along already in 2021. Gentlemen, any last thoughts before I let you get back to your busy days?
I couldn't say it any better than Dominic did, so no thoughts from me. Just glad you're warming up, Lane, and looking forward to spring and hoping for all the best for folks.
Yeah, thank you for today's podcast, Lane, and appreciate the work you're doing for the NPC.
Well, I'm honored to be a part of the podcast and the team at NPC and helping tell your story. It truly is. It's so fun to have these conversations and let people know what's going on in the industry through the Eye on Potatoes podcast. And again, friends, if this is your first time tuning in, make sure and subscribe on your podcast app that you are tuning into. And of course, for more, visit the National Potato Council online today. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Lane.
And friends, that will do it for this edition of the Eye on Potatoes podcast. Again, a big thank you to our sponsor of today's show, AgroThrive, delivering the world's first pre-digested organic fertilizers to farmers across the nation since 2006. Visit agrothrive.ag online for more. I'm Mike Nordlund. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the National Potato Council's Eye on Potatoes podcast with host Lane Nordlund. For more information, visit nationalpotatocouncil.org and make sure to subscribe to the podcast today.